both in 1831. There was a nullification controversy in South Carolina that really spread over from the very late 1820s into the early 1830s, ostensibly about the tariff, but really about slavery, I believe, and whether the federal government, if it were given the power in the area of tariffs, might not step in and interfere with state institutions such as slavery later on, a fear of too much federal power. In 1840, the Liberty Party first ran a presidential candidate. The Liberty Party had one issue, the end of slavery. The admission of Texas to the Union in 1845 and then the Mexican War in 1846 to 47 brought vast new western lands into the nation that fanned the conflict, the sectional conflict, during the 1840s. In response to these huge new areas brought in, and they included California and Utah, or what are now California, Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, and parts of Colorado and Nevada, in response to all of these lands coming in, the North staked out a clear position with the 1846 Wilmot Proviso, offered by a Democrat from Pennsylvania, named, interestingly enough, David Wilmot. Wilmot's proviso said, all right, we'll take all this land from Mexico, we'll bring all of this land into the Union, but we will bar slavery from any lands acquired as a result of the war with Mexico. That passed in the Northern-dominated House of Representatives, the Wilmot Proviso did, but it was voted down in the Senate. It gave a clear warning to the South of the intention of a good part of the North to seal off new territories to slavery. Many people in the North, even some Democrats, said white Southerners like David Wilmot, want to keep our slave property out of the territories. A crisis followed crisis fairly rapidly after 1848, a year in which the Free Soil Party ran a presidential candidate in a major effort. Free Soil Party, obviously, for keeping slavery out of the territories. The Compromise of 1850, which together with the Missouri Compromise is one of the two most famous efforts in the antebellum years to dampen sectional tensions and animosities. Compromise of 1850 arose in response to a number of issues, and it really consisted of a cluster of pieces of legislation that didn't really please anybody, but did manage to quiet things down for a while. Key elements of the compromise: California came in as a free state, and that broke parity in the Senate. From the admission of California forward, the North would control the Senate as well as the House of Representatives. On the Southern side, the compromise included a very tough fugitive slave law that put the United States government in the position of having to help slave owners recover slaves who managed to run away to free territory. So much of the North wasn't happy with the fugitive slave law, much of the South not happy with California coming in as a free state under the Compromise of 1850. 2 years later, Harriet Beecher Stowe published Uncle Tom's Cabin. And it really is impossible, I think, for us to grasp the effect that Uncle Tom's Cabin had. It was an enormous bestseller. It sold hundreds of thousands of copies very quickly. That is at a time when the nation had only about 25 million people. It sold thousands of copies overseas as well. It really did bring home to a vastly increased proportion of the white North some notion about the awful situation of black people living under slavery. Many Northerners who really hadn't cared before became sensitive to the issue because of Uncle Tom's Cabin and Harriet Beecher Stowe. There's a wonderful story about Abraham Lincoln meeting Harriet Beecher Stowe during the Civil War. It may be apocryphal, but it may not. He is introduced to her and he said, oh, so this is the young lady who brought on this great Civil War. Her book did have a good deal to do with increasing, in some ways, sectional tensions. It was a book loathed in the South. In fact, a couple of novels in the South were written as answers to Uncle Tom's Cabin. It's a very important book. I think easily the most important novel in American history. 2 years after Uncle Tom's Cabin, the Kansas-Nebraska Act of 1854 was passed, which included a provision for popular sovereignty. A popular sovereignty meant that the people of a territory should decide for themselves whether or not they would want slavery in their territory. Don't let Congress decide. Let the people who are living there decide.